believe assault is an act, not an adjective. Your safety is not just on the gun, it is the gun. Freedom is a fundamental human right. Welcome to your show, 2A Radio with Bill Cards. Your safety is your responsibility, not the government's, not anybody else's. Be a citizen, not a subject. Better yet, be a listener. Because it's an inalienable right, not a privilege. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is live, right now. Call 1-800-313-9443.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, right here on 2A Radio. I appreciate everybody taking their time to tune in. In Oregon, they have a law that allows concealed weapons permit information to be considered public record. The same thing happened in Arkansas, and some incredibly left-wing editor of a newspaper in Little Rock gathered up all the information of everybody in the state who had a concealed weapons permit and published all of those names with addresses, everything available on the public record, jeopardizing some people. Some of the folks had their concealed weapons permits, and they had them because they had people that were stalking them, or they had protective orders against them, restraining orders against them. Some were police officers that were pretty deep undercover that would carry guns, but didn't really want to get busted with the gun, so under their pseudonym, they would have their concealed weapons permit. So, put a lot of people in jeopardy, put a lot of people in risk. The Oregon State Senate has decided concealed handguns permit will not be concealed, the information, over the objection of county sheriffs across the state. The concealed handgun licenses are public record, and senators affirm their support that the policy of that policy by declining even voting on House Bill 2727 in the state of Oregon, which would have allowed sheriffs to keep the permits confidential. The lawmakers in the House voted overwhelmingly about a month ago to seal the information for the licenses. But again, the state Senate in Oregon didn't even bring it up to vote on it. The diverse issue has pitted gun owners and sheriffs against reporters and the courts. Supporters claim that publishing the records puts those carrying handguns in jeopardy. The senators disagree. Now listen to this. It's a bad idea to keep secret who has loaded guns in our communities, schools, and public buildings, said Portland Democrat Ginny Burdick. Now, I'm not sure what kind of drugs Ginny Burdick is on, but something tells me she's pretty high. Because in the Oregon state, in the CCW laws within the state of Oregon, you can't just go packing in schools. And most public buildings are off limits. But she believes it's a bad idea to keep secret who has loaded guns in communities, schools, and public buildings. Tells you how out of touch some people are. Earlier this year, the sheriffs from across Oregon sent letters to handgun permit holders warning of media attempts to publish their names. Now, what good does that do? Does that actually do anything good? Or is it just to get a bunch of hoopla, sell some newspapers, sell advertising on shows, and just basically be a big thorn in the sides of the people who are packing? The Medford Tribune is the one that started all of this. So if you ever have any opportunity to do any advertising with the Medford Tribune, go to their competition instead. A little bit more about this when we return from the break. Stay tuned. This is Bill Carnes, your host on 2A Radio.
Rule one, assume it's loaded. Rule two, don't point it at anything you're not willing to destroy. Rule 3. Listen to the 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes. 1-800-313-9443.
And welcome back from the break. Have a little story to share with you that's sure to enrage you just a bit. The Ohio Coalition Against Gun Violence is an anti-gun group. They're not really into being against gun violence because Ohio has some rather strict gun laws. So they're more into taking guns away as though that's going to stop some sort of violence. So the Ohio Coalition Against Gun Violence are now presuming to tell people how to worship. The Northwest Baptist Church in Toledo held a rally celebrating the right to keep and bear arms and spreading the message that the exercise of that is in no way incompatible with Christian values. The rally pointed to numerous biblical references claiming Jesus Christ would support Second Amendment rights. Here's a quote for you. "We're just informing our folks you've got to be able to protect yourself. And what does the Bible have to say about it? We know our Constitution, but this is the final authority here. Above our Constitution is the Word of God." That statement was by Reverend Andrew Edwards of the Northwest Baptist Church. And towards the beginning of an interview with WTOL 11, that's West Toledo's CBS affiliate, the interviewer actually proposed a very provocative question when he started this. And here it was. "Should Christians be allowed to carry guns?" That was his opening statement. Can you imagine? Should Christians be allowed to carry guns? Take Christians out, put any other word in there. Should Jews be allowed to carry guns? Should blacks be allowed to carry guns? Should Mexicans be allowed to carry guns? Should women be allowed to carry guns? Should white men be allowed to carry guns? Should Asians be allowed to carry it? Take any of those out. And take Christians out, put any of those in. And that's what he started. Should Christians be allowed to carry guns? I trust that he's referring to the question of compatibility of armed self-defense and Christian values, rather than whether or not the laws regarding the keeping of and bearing of arms should be different from people of differing religious faiths. As one might have guessed, there were some with whom this rally did not sit well. The Ohio Coalition Against Gun Violence was particularly apathetic. They did not like it. "It's an embarrassment to people of faith that pray for peace and nonviolence to have gun proponents use a house of worship to encourage the ownership and defense and defend the use of weapons. Firearms are sacred, are not sacred relics of worship. They are tools of violence, lethal products designed to kill and injure human beings, to destroy lives and cause terror in our communities. Guns allow a person to decide who lives and who dies. It is obviously immoral to suggest that the Bible supports violence. We need to reduce gun violence, not use fear to divide and distract us from the suffering caused by our gun culture." That was the statement from the Ohio Coalition Against Gun Violence. So, in the name it says against gun violence, but in that statement you can see they're against guns. "Firearms are not sacred relics of worship. They are tools of violence, lethal products designed to kill and injure human beings, to destroy lives and cause terror in our communities." They're designed to do that. That's what they're tools of, according to the Ohio Coalition Against Gun Violence. In a way, in a very odd way, certainly not the way that it was meant by whoever issued this statement from the OCAGV, they're right. Guns can be intimidating, and they can cause death or serious bodily injury. And they can cause terror in the eyes of some. Now, if all goes well and all the good guys are out there packing, all of those negative things that happen are to the would-be criminals that would otherwise treat you as their victim. Instead, they're now a little terrified to go after anybody because everyone's packing. And if they do decide to go up against somebody and create the threat of imminent death or serious bodily injury to their intended victim, and that intended victim pulls out their gun and shoots them, it could potentially cause death, certainly serious bodily injury. And it could really cause terror in the lives of their friends and relatives that might otherwise be in the same line of work as their scumbag friend or relative that just got lit up trying to turn an honest, law-abiding, gun-packing citizen into a victim. Of course, there was more when it came to the Ohio Coalition Against Gun Violence's statement, but you get the idea. What struck me about the press release was not their over-the-top emotionalism of the rhetoric, which is, after all, fairly typical for citizens' disarmament propaganda. Now, what floored me was the arrogance inherent to telling people that they're worshiping wrongly and that the church service is immoral. It seems that along with the right to keep and bear arms, even freedom of religion offends the OCAGV. Freedom of religion, freedom of peace, freedom to actually speak. Right? They want, this particular church, all right, in, let me find it again. The church is, well, I'm sorry, the Northwest Baptist Church in Toledo. If these people want to live peaceful lives, carrying a gun with you is a pretty good way of going about it. If you've got a gun, people know you've got a gun, you're going to be pretty peaceable. People are going to leave you alone. Maybe you have not heard the phrase, an armed society is a polite society. If everyone, and I mean everyone, had a gun, it would be a much more polite society. When I go packing, if I go into a local store, let's say I walk into my local Walmart, which is kind of the hub of community activity here in the small town of Pahrump, Nevada, and I'm packing, oftentimes I'll see somebody else in there packing, and we just kind of look at each other, nod, carry on. Very polite interaction. Other people have sometimes said to me, are you a cop? No, I'm not a cop. Well, then why are you carrying a gun? Well, the question isn't why am I carrying a gun? The question is, why aren't you? Why aren't you carrying a gun? I don't need a cop because I've got a gun. You know, if I need somebody to jot down a report about something, I'll call a cop. But for my security, my safety, I don't have the time to grab my phone, dial 911, give an explanation about everything that's going on, stay on the line while the cops come, and then have them handle it. I don't have that type of time when some punk comes up to me with a knife or a bat or a gun or a hammer or a spike and tries telling me what I'm going to do for him, what possessions of mine he's going to get, what family member or loved one or friend of mine he's going to take hostage until he gets what he wants. I don't have that luxury of grabbing my phone and making that call. So instead, I carry a gun. And when the smoke clears, and I'm talking literally, I'll call the cops so they can come take the report. Somebody steals something out of my car while I'm in the store, I'll call the cops so they can take a report. Somebody burglarizes something out of my house when I'm not there, I'll call the cops so they can take a report. If I see something that goes down that is other than legal that I just can't let stand, I'll call the cops so they can take a report. But they are not in charge of my safety. And that's the message I want to get across to people. They shouldn't be in charge of your safety either. If you live in a gated community that has armed guards, it feels pretty safe for now. Unless the collapse of the financial infrastructure of this country or a natural disaster comes through, do you really think these $8, $10, $12 an hour private security guards are going to be there guarding you and not home with their families? You're sorely mistaken. You're then going to be opened up to all kinds of trouble. And you make really big targets. So get a gun, get some training, learn how to use it, and then practice. That's my take-home message for you. We've got more coming up after the break. Stay tuned. This is Bill Carnes, your host, on 2A Radio.
Have the alcohol and tobacco. Leave the firearms to us. Right now, live, the 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes.
And welcome back. You know, I didn't quite finish the story earlier in Oregon, so let me get back to that. Again, we're talking about how the information about concealed weapons permit holders is not secure. It's actually public information. So the Medford Mail Tribune sued Jackson County last year to force the release of every concealed handgun permit holder's names on the books, and a judge agreed and demanded the list be given to the newspaper. That verdict was appealed and is now under consideration by the state appellate court. So what happened was a bill was written in the House, House Bill 2727 in the state of Oregon, to make that information private. And the House overwhelmingly voted it in. Well, whoever's in charge in the state Senate decided that they didn't like the idea because they're anti-gun. So they prevented it from even being brought to the floor for a vote. And it expired. Burdick said that it was very unlikely that the bill would come to a vote this late in the legislative session. So Baker County Sheriff Mitch Southwick told Oregon Public Broadcasting that instead of releasing the names of permit holders, he would give reporters the permit numbers if they wanted information. Which is a nice way of going about it. You've actually got sheriffs backing up the CCW holders, which is very, very odd. It's not the mainstream. You know as well as I do that most of the time when we have stories that we read about what's going on between CCW laws or CCW holders and sheriffs along with their police chiefs, they're not really the biggest supporters of good, solid CCW laws and people having. They believe that they're going to somehow be giving up their control over you. That it's going to be an officer safety issue. Now, you'd be hard-pressed to find stories that you could send to me that are bona fide stories where a CCW holder has actually caused any sort of injury to a police officer who was in, you know, in uniform, whatever, doing his legal duty. You'd be hard-pressed to find that. Now, you might find somebody who had a CCW permit that prevented cops from busting in his door in his house. That's happened. Some cops have been shot when trying to do a warrantless search that also was absent exigent circumstances. Whether those guys had CCW permits or not. Now, I'm talking somebody who has a CCW. They're out and about in their community, wherever, and they cause some sort of problem when it comes to the safety of the officer. You'd be hard-pressed to be able to show me any bona fide story of that ever happening. So generally, you've got these police chiefs and these county sheriffs and their lobbyists at the state level lobbying against opening up concealed weapons permit information or having the permits themselves more readily accessible. Good case in point, in California, AB 357. The California organization, whatever it's called, of police chiefs and sheriffs, lobbied very hard to squash AB 357, which would have turned California into a shall-issue state rather than a may-issue state, where you go to your sheriff or your police chief and you ask Mother, may I, can I get a permit so I can protect myself? And they said, no. Now, there's a couple of sheriffs within the state of California that issue permits to the vast majority of good citizens that apply for them. And then you get others that simply don't give them out at all, unless maybe it's a retired judge or an old buddy or something like that. Then they'll let, you know, maybe 3 or 4 a year fly through their system. Good case in point there is in Santa Barbara County. Both the city of Santa Barbara and the county of Santa Barbara don't give out anything. But there's a lot of people that are there. There's still some conservative people in Santa Barbara. You know, remember, that's where Reagan made his home. There's still a lot of good conservative people there. There's a lot of people with a fair amount of money, a lot of things to protect. It's a decent area to, you know, at least, I guess if bad guys wanted to kind of wreck the area and travel a bit to get there, it's a decent area to profile potential victims. And there are some crimes that go on there. But the ability to get a concealed weapons permit in Santa Barbara in the city or county of is pretty darn difficult. You got to know somebody, and you got to have known them for some time. I know somebody who lives there who actually knows quite a few people and has known them for quite some time. She was still not able to get a permit, and that really sucks. And she happens to be much more highly trained than most, probably than any other cop on the department. And I would venture to say even that up to and including a lot of the SWAT cops. She's really good. Actually competes at the handgun combat master level and may very well someday be the first female to ever achieve that title. We've got more coming up for you after the break. Today's riot of the day will be down in 3 minutes. Stay tuned. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, on 2A Radio.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Bill Carnes, 1-800-313-9443.
Favoring gun rights isn't subversion, but anti-gunners would have you believe that favoring gun rights is subversion and even against American ideals. Recently on the NRA news program Cam and Company, the discussion about the tactics of the anti-gun crowd to apply negative labels to gun owners came up. The anti-gunners are losing the fight in the legislature and in the courts and in public opinion, and has turned against all of this. They, all of these different areas have turned against the anti-gunners. With only tricks left, these ponies are trying to change the public sentiment with insults, stereotypes, and lies. So now, in addition to saying guns are bad, they're saying that gun owners are bad people. Paranoid, redneck, cowboy wannabes. These are all terms that have been used pretty regularly in recent years. They're now being supplemented with stronger terms like domestic terrorist, right-wing extremist, and subversive. Have you heard these? Have you heard these out of even your government? Yeah, that's where a lot of the anti-gunners are. Desperate times call for desperate measures, and they're losing the battle of public opinion so badly, they need to conjure up images of terrorism and imply that gun owners are amassing to overthrow the government to counteract the truth to the general public is waking up that guns are really no different than any other tool. And gun owners are really no different than anyone else's. They can't fight the idea without undermining the reputation and character of the people on the other side of the issue. Take, for instance, a recent Second Amendment rally held in the form of a picnic. The Michigan Open Carry Incorporated, a group that promotes the open carry of firearms, held a cookout in Sunset Park off the west arm of Grand Traverse Bay that was attended by over 50 people. In attendance was a guy by the name of Skip Coyrell of the Second Amendment March. The Michigan Messenger, which claims to be a center for independent media, wrote an article about the picnic full of a negative undertone. It didn't take long for them to point out that there were signs of tension present, as these lawful gun owners might suddenly go on a shooting spree. They attribute a recent spike in sales of guns and ammunition not as a precaution against confiscation by rational people, but is being driven by anger and fear by white conservatives. They ended the article with quotes from local anti-gun resident Leo Gabriere and his belief that, quote, these people are hateful and want to divide the country, end quote. This sort of thing makes my blood boil. When they want to, these anti-gunners want to take something they know absolutely nothing about firsthand. All they have is second and third hand information. They know nothing at all about guns. They know nothing at all about being a gun owner. And if you are one of these people listening, stay tuned, because you're sitting there shaking your head, no, that's not true. The statistics show, the facts show, the news reports. Okay, let me explain something to you about the statistics, the quote-unquote facts, which they are not, and the news. Okay? Just so you understand, in some very minute way, with this microphone in front of me and the speakers in front of you, somehow I become a member of the media, which is pretty bad. That would almost be like slapping an attorney label, Esquire, at the end of my name. That's a pretty big embarrassment for me. But I've got to tell you something. If you happen to own a car and you love that car, and your neighbor owns a type of car you've never driven before, but you believe that you hate that car. Let's say you're an environmentalist and your neighbor owns a Jeep Grand Cherokee with a 5.9 liter engine in it, and you believe that your little SUV does way better than their Grand Cherokee, and you're just pissed that they have that gas-guzzling SUV, and you've never had one, you're just pissed. Until you actually get yourself behind the wheel of said Grand Cherokee and take it for a spin and use the thing for a couple of days, you're speaking at a level of ignorance. All you're concerned with is what allegedly the stuff coming out of the exhaust pipe is doing. You really don't know exactly what the mileage of that particular truck is. And you really don't really understand the usefulness of this sport utility vehicle. And perhaps your neighbor goes and does a lot of off-roading and they need the four-wheel drive. Something that you don't need in your minivan grocery getter. For anti-gunners to take statistics and news accounts and talk about guns and how bad they are, until you put a gun in your hand and you go get actual real-life training, how to load, manipulate, run, shoot, and hit with these guns, and the idea of why they're important when it comes to the Second Amendment, you are speaking from a point of ignorance until you learn about it. That's all there is to it. I actually watched a television program where they took a woman from the Northeast, she's up in Boston, who is an anti-gunner by mere policy, had never held a gun, never shot a gun. I wonder if she'd ever even seen a gun. And she was as anti-gun as you could get. Actually went out and, you know, took a sign and would stand there and march against guns in Massachusetts. Imagine that. She agreed to go, I think she went to Virginia, I believe, and spent a month with a man and his son, single father and his son, and learned about guns. She actually got a part-time job working in a gun store. She spent some time with the sheriffs. The man who she was staying at the house, he was an NRA-certified instructor. He and his son would go out on the weekends. That was what they would do, is they'd go out and they would shoot, and they would have fun. They'd meet with other people and they'd shoot. And this lady was tagging along and learning about this. And at night, when they were all back at their house, you know, around dinner time, post-dinner, they would sit around, and this woman would learn things about gun safety. She would learn about the four universal firearm safety rules. She would learn about safe gun handling. She'd learn about operation. She'd learn about malfunction clearances. She'd learn about the reasons behind the Second Amendment and why you cannot rely on law enforcement for protection at the instant that the bad guy launches his attack. And she learned about the community of guns. When they would go out on the weekends, meet up with other law-abiding, pro-gun people, and they would go do some shooting competitions, some matches, and just have fun. By the time this month was over, we don't have a month to do this with every anti-gunner, but by the time the month was over, this woman readily admitted that she was anti-gun from a position of pure ignorance, only by what the media had said to her and what she tried to feed to the media, being an anti-gun proponent. And that when she actually learned about guns, actually held them in her hand, learned how to shoot, learned the differences, why this handgun over that handgun, why this handgun instead of the other handgun, same thing with rifles, you know, why a semi-automatic sporting version of a rifle, why a semi-automatic defensive version of a rifle? Why a bolt-action rifle? Why a lever-action rifle? And on with shotguns. You know? Whether it's a semi-auto, a pump-action, a side-by-side, an over and under. Why? She learned about these things. She was no longer ignorant. So she no longer would go out and say stupid and ignorant things. She was now informed. At this point, if she decided to be anti-gun, at least she would have my respect. Because she went out and she learned about it. You know, for the tree hugger that doesn't like the neighbor with the Jeep Grand Cherokee with the 5.9 liter fuel injected engine, at least after they had a car like that for a few days and got to drive it and see how useful it was and check out the mileage for themselves and blah, blah, blah. Once they were informed firsthand, then I would at least have a little respect for their opinion if they decided they didn't like it. Not even a little. I would actually have respect for that. I know people who have been in and around guns that don't care for guns. My sister-in-law is a perfect example. She knows how to pick up a gun and use it. She doesn't care for guns. She's not anti-gun. She just doesn't care for them. She doesn't say nobody should have a gun. She's just not really big on having one. My brother, her husband, has a couple of guns. That's great. She just doesn't want them out and open and have him cleaning them when she comes home from work. You know, she's not anti-gun. She just doesn't really want to be around them. And she is shot. When she was growing up, she grew up kind of hard. It was her and her sisters and their dad. And oftentimes, dad would have to go to work, and the girls were at home taking care of themselves, and they needed to have a couple guns around. And they knew how to shoot them. They knew how to use them. So I respect my sister-in-law's opinion that she's not really big into guns. They came over to my house this last weekend. So a couple of guns that I had out, I was working, I put them away. I didn't need 4th of July to have some sort of instance. You know, I respected that. I did. Because she understands she's shot. For anti-gunners to not know this, it's just absolute ignorance. The truth, when it comes to these anti-gunners, is far more mundane than what they'd really like you to believe. The vast majority of gun owners simply want to live their lives in peace. Don't pass useless gun bans, enact strict ownership controls, levy heavy taxes on guns and ammunition, and don't try to rob, murder, or otherwise physically attack them, and you'll never know who most gun owners even are. Contrary to the mad ravings of the anti-gun media, nearly all gun owners are peaceful, hardworking people who love their country and have great respect for the law. It always amazes me that the same people the anti-gunners accuse of being lawless, just malcontents, just looking for an excuse to storm City Hall, spend hours a day discussing the details of gun laws on the concealed carry forums to be sure they don't commit the smallest infraction, lawful gun owners are not the problem. If the Michigan Messenger didn't like the Sunset Park picnic, then they really will not like the Ohioans for Concealed Carry party in the park being held less than 2 weeks ago. Instead of 50 people, there will be well over 100. I'm sorry, there was well over 100, and almost all of them were armed and just polite, going around in the park, armed gun owners. I guarantee, though, that to the contrary of the dire warnings of the anti-gun crowd, that Liberty Park is going to be the safest park in Ohio when they do this. Their next picnic, if you happen to live in Ohio, is July 11th, this coming weekend. It will be the safest park in Ohio, again, on July 11th. That's why these anti-gun extremists continue to lose over and over in the battle over gun rights. They make their predictions of blood running in the streets, yet it never happens. They say crime will increase if more law-abiding citizens carry guns as part of their daily lives, yet it never happens. They try to label gun owners as terrorists and subversives, yet they go about their lives in a safe, well-protected, and law-abiding manner. The public notices, and the lies are losing their power. If you cannot win your argument by telling the truth and giving all of the facts from both sides, then your argument doesn't hold water. Violence Policy Center, Brady Campaign, all of these anti-gun groups do exactly that. They take the information at hand, and they manipulate it to make it look far worse to advance their agenda. But when you really look at it, you realize that if their argument held water, if it could really stand up that armed citizens are bad and create problems and cost lives and damage property and all the other mayhem, then they wouldn't have to lie and manipulate their research and their numbers. But they do, and they know that they do. It's even to the point where it's so common they don't even realize that they're going about it all wrong. It's so common to take information that comes out for these anti-gun groups and manipulate it to try to strengthen their point. And then we, the pro-gun people, just use the facts. We use all of the information without distorting it, without prostituting it, without turning ourselves into pro-gun whores the way that they turn themselves into anti-gun whores. We can actually stand on the truth and the facts, and our arguments hold water that way, where the anti-gunners do not. Anyone who lies and manipulates and fools with the information to try to further their position, they just proved their position is wrong. There you go with the anti-gunners. Stay tuned after the break. More to come.
The right to listen and take action shall not be infringed. 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back. 1-800-313-9443. Uncle
Sam's out here to shoot maybe a little too well. You know, it's pretty funny. After each segment, I've got to open up a little thing on the computer and type out just a sentence or two on what the segment I just finished was all about, and that all gets sent off to the network. So for their archives, they can have just a little blurb on what the show is about. And I take great pride in what I just wrote for the last segment. Listen to this. This is what's going to get posted within the network. Anti-gunners are losing, going nuts, and reverting to name-calling as they scamper like rats into the corner to huddle up together in their time of shame. That's how I'm summing up the riot of the day that I just finished up. And that's really the way I feel. And that's quite honestly what's going on. These anti-gunners haven't been able to stand on the principles within their argument for the longest time. Take it. Violence Policy Center. Ohio Coalition Against Gun Violence. Brady Campaign to Stop Gun Violence. It's all about gun violence. Gun violence. Gun violence. And they say, you know, we support the Second Amendment. We just think there should be sensible laws and sensible legislation about gun ownership. Well, the thing is, you aren't sensible people because you lie, you manipulate, and you twist every little thing around to try to support your cause because it can't stand on its own. That makes you unsensible people. So who are you to decide what is and what is not a sensible gun law? You want to know what a sensible gun law is? I'll tell you what a sensible gun law is. If you're going to buy a gun and you're going to carry it, a sensible gun law would be you've got to go get proper training with it. That's a sensible gun law. That's to me. If you're going to go out and you're going to buy your very first lever action rifle, and you don't know how to run a lever-action rifle, if nothing else, there should be a DVD that you check out. You take this DVD home, and it teaches you how to load, unload, fire, and manipulate a lever-action rifle. And when it's done, you know, you do this little... Maybe it should be like this cool little online thing, where it plays a video like a YouTube sort of thing. And then when you're done, you answer certain questions. That's just reasonable. I don't even know that should be a law. That's just something sense. Maybe I should work on something like that. Maybe I should take all the different types of actions of all the different types of handguns, shotguns, and rifles and put together some sort of video series where at the end there's interactive questions that you can answer and see how you do. And anything that you miss, it will review at the end of it. That would be great. The thing is, I would certainly need a lot of time, which I could create, but certainly a lot of capital to get this done. But that would be great. That would be something where people who actually want to know how to run their guns would work. And the government can keep their fat, stinking noses the hell out of it. I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you. And Congress, the executive, and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule. Thank you for spending your morning with me. Have a wonderful day. I'll be here tomorrow.
Bill will be here tomorrow. Will your freedoms? The Two-Way Radio Show, 7 a.m. Pacific, 9 Central, Monday through Friday.